Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke and chapter 11. Luke and chapter 11 is where we are going to spend most of our time. Thank you for being here. This is a great crowd. Man, for all the ice and the possibility of continued rain. And I love you people. You people would go to war. I really believe that. Thank you for your faithfulness. And let's pray that God would give you a special blessing by way of scripture this morning and would encourage you. You are here by design today. I'm not minimizing the live streamers. I know some of you just didn't want to chance it. I understand that. Maybe where your house is, because our church family goes from an hour in every direction. And maybe where you're at is far worse. Maybe you're on a side road that's real bad. But man, we got people here this morning, probably from pretty much every community. God bless you. And let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we ask your blessing on the word of God. Lord Jesus, get a hold of our hearts. I pray for every live streamer and every need, God, that they have. Would you bless them this morning? And God, what a church. We haven't arrived and we're not anything special in the family of God. We're just a part of the family of God. But Lord, we got a lot of faithful people here and we're thankful for it. God, would you bless? Would you speak to all of our hearts and do what needs to be done here this morning in Jesus' name? And God bless our people that are watching live stream. We all know it's not the same as being here, and it's kind of like a weak sister kind of way, but at least we're connected and we're thankful for that live stream this morning. And God, would you bless the effort and bless the radio broadcast as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead. You're already seated. All right. Glad for that. Get a little habitual here. As far as what God has done this week, let me just say this. We got to fight for every inch we get. It has been a worse winter that I can remember as far as all of the flus, all of the 17 or 18 strains of influenza that has circled the church. And it isn't just here, it's everywhere. And it's kind of bit into things. And then if we had all the blizzards and all the weather events, and then spring break last week, we finally get a great week and it looks like almost everybody is healthy. And then spring break and everybody is gone. And I'm thinking, well, this morning we're gonna have a great crowd. And then the ice starts yesterday afternoon and it's continuing on through the day. And I just wanna say, it's not gonna be long and springtime is going to be here, and we're going to hit on all eight cylinders. And I'm excited. That's why the message I'm going to preach this morning, I'm excited for what God is going to do, but we've got to make some preparations. This last week, my time in the Bible was as deep and as clean and as pure like running water coming, ice water coming out of the rock. God took me places and brought me places in the Word of God that just filled my cup to overflowing. During the week, what am I gonna preach this week, Lord? And God led me to the direction of prayer. I've already preached on prayer already in the new year, already in the year 2025. But God said, and he arrested my attention, brought me back to Luke in chapter 11. We may look at Matthew in chapter 6. We may look to Old Testament this morning. We may look to the book of Philippians. But I'm praying that God will do and give to us exactly what we need this morning. So you recognize you're here by design. You recognize you've got a Bible on your lap. You recognize it is the holy, verbally inspired Word of God. And God, the Holy Spirit, is going to take it and he's going to embed some scripture in your soul and in your heart. And I pray this morning, it'll be about prayer because that is one thing we need. Amen. And this brings me to Luke and chapter 11. I want to preach on the power of prayer this morning, but we got to have it. If there's ever been a generation in the church of Jesus Christ that is prayerless, this is a prayerless generation in which we live, even within the family of God. You know, it's like we're spoiled. We got everything. We got money. We've got clothing. We've got the good food. We've got everything that we need. And we live in, and we worship in great church houses. And we don't pray. This is a prayerless generation. As we study through this morning, I wonder, you ask yourself the question, how much do I really pray? Oh, I pray for my food.
And now he lay me down to sleep. And if I'm in a car accident, I pray, God, help me. But how many of us really pray? Look what it says here in Luke and chapter 11. Stand with me, please, out of respect for God's word. I will say this morning. We've got too much flesh in the work of God and not enough of the Spirit of God. And we at Fundamental Baptist Church are moving into uncharted territory. We've got this Easter TV special coming up. We've got our blitzes through the countryside that are going to take place during the summertime, pretty much all summer long. We've got a 600-seat auditorium now, and we got to fill it up. And this is uncharted territory. If we ever needed the power of God, if we've ever needed God's presence, it is right now. Look what it says in verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Father, we come to you again. Lord, we pray for your blessing. God, we ask that you would help this church raise up prayer warriors. We got some. I know that. We got soul winners. I know that. But God, we all need to be prayers. We all need to be people that have a prayer closet where we get alone with you and ask for the blessing of God and never take credit for things ourselves and take the brethren and their needs before the throne of God and whisper their name. Bring the names of the unsaved, our loved ones, our family members before the throne of God and do it consistently. God, would you raise up a great burden to be a prayer warrior here in this group here this morning? And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. We need to blow the horn. We need to ring the bell. We need to sound the alarm. There needs to be a people of God, Baptist people, born again Baptist people. We know we're people of the book. We also need to be people of prayer. We also need to be people that have a prayer closet. And sometimes you might think, is that even scriptural? Hold your hand here and go back to Matthew and chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And I want to tell you this, praying is not a show. It is not show business. It is private communion between myself and God. There's such a thing as corporate prayer. That's why we have prayer meeting. And the Bible commands us to pray that way. And that is part of the job of a New Testament church family. We're to get together and we're to pray. But I'm also commanded to have a prayer closet. Jesus said, when you pray, don't pray to be seen of men. He says in the rest of the verse, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, verse 6, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. In other words, it's not a show. This is a challenge to every member of Fundamental Baptist Church. Get yourself a private place to pray. That's the biggest thing you could do for this ministry. Get yourself a place where you're alone with God. Jesus referred to it as entering into a closet. That's why we refer to it today as a prayer closet. You get with some of the brethren, they refer to a prayer closet. You don't need to literally have a closet, but that'd be all right because you're away from distractions. Turn your phone off and get with God and allow God to hear you pray. I want to say quite a bit here about prayer here in the next several moments. But the number one thing is we have got to pray. We have got to do what Jesus prayed. He started his ministry with prayer and he ended his ministry with prayer. We have records of Jesus praying 25 times in the Word of God. This is the Master. This is the Son of God. He would go apart on a mountainside. He would come apart and he would pray. Remember Gethsemane? He got all by himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was him and his Heavenly Father. That's how we're to pray. That's not a spooky thing. That's not a hocus pocus thing. That's where I come and pray in the name of Christ and pray that which I know is right. And God hears that prayer. Look what it says here again in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying, that's Jesus, in a certain place, a specific place, Jesus prayed, and when he prayed, the disciples left him alone. Now, he prayed with them as well. But when he was praying, it's like, ooh, we don't go there. It says he was praying in a certain place, and when he had ceased, he got done. One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. Christ was the great example. And this part of this sermon may not be real deep, but it might be exactly what you need to hear. Do you pray? Do you even talk to God? Oh yeah, I pray. I whisper shoot up prayers all the time. And that's right. We're to pray without ceasing, the scripture says. But what about the prayer closet? What about where there's no distractions? What about we're worried about that driver that's passing you. You see him in your rearview mirror. I mean, you're praying to God. And God is able to speak. He says, and when it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Number one, Jesus prayed. I think we know that. And I hope you understand that. There is an event that when it happens, it excites the angels. The saints of God in heaven, I believe, they cheer. The mighty God on his throne takes note. And at the same time, the demons cower and retreat back to the dark corners. Amen. And it's when God's child on this earth asks his heavenly Father for help.
That's right.
Boy, the devil's run then.
Amen.
When a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God is so in touch with heaven that he gets on his knees or her knees and they cry out to God and they ask for help, man, the demons are gone. They're not going to mess around with that. Jesus, number one, he prayed. And his disciples had gotten desperate for this thing called prayer. Can I say, you are not completely whole in your ministry until you learn to pray. You are missing out on all kinds of things that God desires to use you in, and you're missing it out. You're missing out on it because you have not, because ye ask not. Jesus is going to say more about that in just a moment. It's very, very clear. But his disciples had become desperate for this thing called prayer. Charles Spurgeon, Brother Spurgeon, Pastor Spurgeon said this, there is no better thermometer of the spiritual temperature of a child of God than the intensity of his prayer. Wow, that's pretty good. That's powerful. I pray a lot more than I used to. I haven't arrived. I do pray for every church member every morning. I do pray for brother pastors all over Michigan every morning. It takes me an hour to do that. I do it every single morning except Sunday. I'm not bragging because I'm not saying it's the sincerest prayer all the time. I go through the list and God tells me to stop, I stop, right? And I pray for some specifics. But I know this, I fall woefully short of how Jesus taught us to pray. Man, we've got to get serious about this. If we're going to reach these counties for Christ, if we're going to fill up this auditorium, not just on Sunday morning, but three times a week, then somebody's got to get serious. Somebody's got to ring the bell. He says in verse 2, and he said unto them, and so the disciples are desperate, they're hungry, and prayer changes things. They said, teach us to pray. Jesus gives a pattern here. It's not the Lord's Prayer. That is a misnomer. That is not what we're reading here in the Gospel of Luke. This is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in the Gospel of John and chapter 17. That's where we see Jesus. That's where we have some record of Jesus and the actual words that he prayed. Jesus was telling the disciples, this is how you pray. This is a pattern for prayer. Let's look at it very quickly. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, there's some worship. This is a holy place. We're on praying ground. We're not asking our stumbling grandfather up in a cloud somewhere to meet our need. Hallowed be thy name. We know we're talking to God. Therefore, the only way we can come is by way of the blood of Christ. And we come boldly. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You know what he's saying? Hurry. Hurry. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That's surrender. God, I want your will, not mine. God, I'm asking for your will, not mine. As in heaven, so in earth. That's us doing some building. Let's reach some souls. Let's disciple some young converts. Give us day by day our daily bread, provisions. God, meet our needs. Verse 4, and forgive us our sins. God, I'm sorry. God, I have sinned. God, I have done wrong, and here's where it happened. Please forgive me. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted, that happens in prayer, to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, help. Lord, help us. Jesus said, when you come to pray, here's a pattern to pray. I've often used that acronym. I know I shared it in Sunday school, the word ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That covers the pattern that Jesus covered here in John and chapter 11. He said, or Luke in chapter 11. He said, man, this is how you pray when you pray. Here's some direction. I'm giving it to you. Don't just approach God, la, 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 and approach him like he's not the holy God of heaven, because he is the holy God of heaven. So this is direction on how to pray. Again, Matthew 6, it's not a show. Again, Matthew 6, it's not a chant. You don't fall into cliches that are meaningless. He said they love to pray and with many words so that others will hear them pray. That's not, it can't be a heartless prayer. It's got to be from the heart. It needs to be continual, consistent, and at it all of the time. As a matter of fact, let's look at verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Now he's going to teach them. He told them, this is a pattern for prayer. The disciples said, Lord, he waited till he was done. Lord, teach us to pray. We want to have some of that. We'd love to be connected to heaven. We know that we are in need. Teach us to pray and teach us how to pray. The Lord says, okay, here's how you pray. Here's a pattern. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He went through that, those few verses. Now he teaches them a great truth concerning that. Look at verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are now are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. In other words, the man is relentless. He's knocking on the door and he won't stop. And the only way he's going to stop is if I get out of bed and share, give him some loaves of bread so he can take care of his friends. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, present tense, it's continual. You keep on asking. You ask and you ask and you ask and you ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Very appropriate song we sang in the congregational singing this morning. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Jesus is better than any earthly friend. And if we go to him and we ask in faith, in Jesus' name, and we keep asking, and we keep seeking, and we keep knocking, God is going to answer that prayer. And a friend here on this earth will do his best to answer, to meet the need. Our Heavenly Father above is the best friend you could ever have. I don't know what your need is this morning, but you need to go to God with it. Amen. You need to go to God about it. Yeah. And you need to ask him. And you need to knock. And you need to seek. He'll open the door. He'll provide. He's better than any friend. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. I like to read some of Spurgeon's stuff. I love to read his sermons. He's talking about ringing the bell of heaven. He said, prayer pulls the rope below and the great bell of heaven rings above in the ears of God. Some scarcely stir the bell, for they rarely and timidly pray. Others give an occasional pull at the rope. But he who wins with heaven is the man that grasps the rope firmly with both hands, boldly, and pulls continuously with all his might. I think Spurgeon had a great truth there, and he did. We need to ring the bell of heaven. Have you prayed for something and it didn't happen, and you're sure that it's the will of God, and you stop praying because it hasn't happened yet? You know what the word of God, what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, Jesus, Our Heavenly Father is a better friend than any friend you have on this earth. And he goes on and says this, and our Heavenly Father is a better father than any father on this earth. Truth, I know a lot of you men feel the same way. I would take a bullet for any one of my kids. I would. And I wouldn't hesitate. If I was crossing a bridge, I got this nightmare that comes to me every once in a while. I'm not a great swimmer. Now I'm 68. You should have wooed or awed or gasped or something. Some of you didn't even know I turned 68 last week. Thanks a lot for the birthday wish, all right? But I'm 68. It's not too late. It's not too late because I don't celebrate my birthday on one day. It's a festival. It lasts all week long. You can still get in on this, all right? What in the world was I going to say? Oh, I know. I'm 60. I got this dream that occurs every once in a while. I'm over open water. I'm on a bridge or something, and one of my kids or one of my grandkids are drowning. And I never was a great swimmer. And I don't think if I jumped in, I could save myself now. But you know what I would do? I would jump in a heartbeat. I would try to save them. That's the way an earthly father is. Don't you think your heavenly father loves you even more? Look what it says here. This is concerning prayer. Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him, the good gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we have heavenly fathers, or earthly fathers, and we know what that kind of love is. Everybody that's a man here, everybody that's a woman, you know what a mother's love is. You understand that God is better than any earthly mother. God is better than any earthly father. And God hears our prayers. That's why Jesus said to the disciple that asked, teach us to pray. He said, don't stop asking. You got a loved one that isn't born again yet, and you at one time prayed fervently for the salvation of their soul? Don't stop praying. Amen. Not as long as they've got life here in this earth. Not as long as they're breathing and their heart is beating. You ask God to save them. You consistently, continuously knock, ask, seek, and bring their name to the throne of God. Oh, we need prayer warriors. Jeremiah 33:3. Ask of me, and I will do great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8. Ask and I will give the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You know that God is omnipotent and he loves you because he's your father. You know that God wants the very best for you, not to consume it on our own flesh. Pastor James addressed that. But we have not because we ask not. We don't have a prayer closet. We're not ringing the bell of heaven. In closing, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. We just studied through the book of Hebrews. This was drilled down in my heart as we studied. Every week, this passage of scripture would come to me. We are invited because Jesus, John chapter 4, verse 12, is interceding on our behalf. We'll do greater things for the work of God. Great things in the church of Jesus Christ. Because we have an advocate and a mediator with the Father. His name is Jesus. We have a great high priest. I love the Greek word, mega high priest. And he knows everything that we're going through. And he's experienced every heartache and every pain. And if we would just come to him boldly, look what it says in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed on into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, I've underlined that, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And I circled that. Every temptation, mister, that you have ever experienced, our Lord experienced while he was here on this earth. Ma'am, every temptation you've ever known, our Lord experienced those same temptations. Yet without sin. And he's gone to the throne of God as our great high priest. Last verse. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You run boldly to the throne of grace and you'll get you all the grace and all the mercy you will ever need for every task and every trouble that comes your way. What an over-the-top promise we have from God. Man, if we would just learn to be prayers, If we would just be a people that goes to the throne of God regularly. Here's how we're going to reach our world. Number one, read the scripture. Study it. Number two, attend every church service you possibly can. Don't look for excuses not to come. Do everything you can to get here. Number three, witness or testify. But number four, most of all, pray. When you put on the whole armor of God, he says, haven't done all, pray. Man, make sure you're praying. Make sure you're a prayer warrior. We need that in the soldier and the army of God. It doesn't take any talent. A child can do this. A handicapped person can do this. Someone with a very limited IQ can do this. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. You make way for them. I want to hear their prayers. Amen. I want to meet their need. We that have, I was going to say great IQs. Some of you probably wouldn't amen to that, but including me in that prayer. But we that have a mind that we can think and we've lived a little bit of life and we've seen the hand of God in our life. And God, we're rich with blessings. Man, why aren't we praying? I was thinking about this last week. Not chewing anybody out. Everybody needs a vacation. But I can remember when nobody went on spring break from Fundamental Baptist Church. You know why? We were poor. Nobody left the area. And now, God, I guess God's prospered us. You can look at it that way. And I'm not begrudging anybody. God bless you people watching in Florida right now and in Alabama and Georgia and wherever else you might be. God bless you. I'm happy for you. Come back refreshed. Be ready to get in the book, get in the gospel harness and do the work of God. But, you know, we're so blessed. We are. And if we're not careful, we will become part of that prayerless group that just kind of drives down the road without great direction, without protection, making woeful decisions and bad mistakes. As a child of God, do not underestimate prayer. I think the biggest thing we got going with our mighty God, the biggest thing we've got going in our lives, I'm talking about right now, the year is 2025, whatever the date is, March the 30th, is that what it is? March the 30th, all right? The biggest thing we got going after Calvary and all that Jesus did for us, making a way to heaven and being our personal Savior, the biggest thing we got going is we've got a big, a mighty big God in heaven who says in Hebrews and chapter 4, come and get it. Just come and get it. I provided for you. I've got a will for your life. I'll meet your every need. I know all your temptations. I know all the tasks I'm calling you to perform. Just come and get it. Come boldly to the throne and get yourself all the grace and all the mercy you need for every task and every trouble that comes your way. You know, we don't have any failures in this world, in the family of God. Except they are prayer failures. We didn't go to God. You got a prayer closet? Don't be that person. Don't be that person that's part of Fundamental Baptist Church. I know all this, preacher. I know all this. Okay, amen, I'm out of here. Don't be that person. You allow the word of God that is quick and powerful and penetrates the heart. The Bible tells us that's also in Hebrews in chapter 4. To enter into your heart, do you have a prayer closet? Do you pray? Do you bring your cares, your anxiousness, your tasks, your trouble, your heartaches, your needs? Do you bring it boldly to the throne of grace? Or are you counting on someone else to pray for you? I'm telling you, you're not getting enough.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.